That's what happens if you open and shut the door during a storm, just in case you were wondering. Hey, if you're new today or you've been coming for a while, I would love to meet you, and I mean that. And we have a place for that called Meet 514, which happens back here. You can follow signs. We just want to get to know you. And David just talked about small groups and connection, and we've talked to so many people who've gone to this church for years. And at a couple, you know, a couple of them have come and said after years of being here that they don't feel connected. And we ask really two questions. Are you in a small group? And are you engaged in helping us make this place go? And usually when people say no to that, it means that's why they're not connected. So we want you to get connected. And this is the first step, just to build relationships, just to get to know us. We have nowhere to really gather in the hallways, a small hallway, so we've made a spot over here intentionally for you. And at the very least, like, you'll learn that, you know, our staff, because you get to meet me and we get to meet you and our staff, and you get to learn that, like, our staff is mainly weird, like, just like everybody else. Like, we have per capita as many weird people as there are in the normal population, and you'll get to meet them back there. And there are some that are more weird than others. But if you're thinking, I don't belong here, trust me. When you go back, you'll be like, oh, they're way worse than I am. Trust me. This series is about you and me and the journey that we all go on. We all go on a journey, and at times, we're hit with storms. We are hit with crazy things that happen, metaphorically and literally. I was talking to a friend who was kind of caught in the middle of a minor storm not too long ago. Their power went out, and texting them, and I'm like, do you have this? Do you have a generator? What about this? Do you have, you know, is your spouse home? All this stuff, like, are you okay? And asking, like, is there anything I could do? Making sure, like, that that all the, you know, the garage is closed, and because it was a super cold night. We haven't had that many, but it was super cold. And started giving this person some advice, and basically they're like, yeah, it would just be nice if the power would come back on. Because in the middle of a storm, it's fine to get advice, and you need advice. Like, it's different when stuff happens that you didn't plan on happening. Like, it's good for someone to come along and say, here's how you make it through the storm. But nothing nothing compares to someone coming along and saying, the storm is over, the power's back on. I can help you through it, or I can get you out of it. I'll get you out of it. And when you look at winter storms, I started looking at winter storms in the United States. There's some crazy things that have happened over the past 100 years, some horrible things, and some amazing things that have happened in the midst of storms. One horrific one was in New York City in 1922. There was such a huge snowfall, and it all happened so quickly that at a theater, the Knickerbocker Theater, there were people in there, and the storm and the snow was so heavy that it crashed down on all 98 people in there, and they didn't make it out. And it's like, whoa, like, these people were stuck. There's storm after storm. If you look throughout, I was looking at Time Magazine's worst storms, and there's storms where, you know, there's 10 feet of snow in certain snowdrifts, and people are stuck in their houses for days and, you know, trying to figure out how to survive that. It's unbelievable. I remember when I was a senior in high school, we had so much snow, like 24 inches, and then freezing rain, that we had that winter storm hit. It hit right at the end of our winter break, so right after Christmas, and then we got another week and a half off. And as a high school student, 3.5 weeks off was like, thank you for this storm. Like, this is good. This is good. There's a movie out called Finest Hours, and it's a true story about a winter storm in 1952. True story, and it's depicted the guy that was the kind of the savior of the story. A guy named Bernie Weber was portrayed by Chris Pine. So you're gonna go watch it. You know, he's dreamy. You're gonna check him out. But like, it's a great story of this oil tanker, this oil cargo ship that went from Baton Rouge and was coming all the way up in February of 1952 to the Boston Harbor. And before it could get there, a winter storm hit that was so intense, the waves were 40 to 60 feet high. And the ship that they were on, the SS Pendleton, had sustained some type of crash or something the year before. And it had 3 hairline fractures in it. And for some reason, it got put back out to sea. And when this storm came, the waves were so intense that it snapped the boat in half. In fact, I mean, you think about 60-foot waves. It snapped this boat in half, and it didn't just happen to one boat. Two boats in that harbor snapped in half. And the SS Pendleton was unable to put out a signal, an SOS signal, because all their equipment was destroyed before they could actually do it. But the other ship did. Well, this guy, Bernie Weber, he took a lifeboat that was designed to save 12 men. And he took it out into harbor, into the 40-foot waves. And he saved 30 people off of this boat. Now, he thought that he was going towards this other ship because that's the one they got the distress signal called from. But then he actually happened upon the Pendleton. And what had happened when he got there is four men had already died because they tried to save themselves in a certain part of the boat that got too much water too quickly. So you can see this in this movie, but essentially what these guys are doing and going through is trying to figure out how to survive, but they know that no amount of advice, no plan is actually going to get them out of this. And so they see through the 40-foot waves this lifeboat come, and sure enough, Bernie Weber, true story, one by one, after every ebb and flow of these waves against half of this boat, the other half is floating away, he went up to the stern of the boat, and men, one by one, climbed down, and they saved over 30 men in a 12-person lifeboat. And you can just imagine, right, if you were on that boat, and you were in that storm, and you were going, there's no way out. And if it was me, like, if I'm one of the 30 guys, I'm like, I'm trying to figure out a way, right? You have the captain and the first mate and all that. But once that happens, it's like, dude, we're all in. Like, I got an idea. We're going to do this. And we all start trying to fix it. And then if nobody listens, I'm going to be like, I'm going to go find a spot by myself and find, like, a bed or something that I can just, like, straddle and just be like, I'll be fine. I'm going to make it. Hold on, like I'm not gonna die. I'm gonna try to come up with a plan. You can imagine all the different ideas that were like floating around in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this crash. And all of those things are great, right? Like you're trying, you're working, you're coming up with a plan, you have an idea, maybe you have some good luck, maybe you figure something out, maybe some guy has been there before, so he gives some special advice. But I guarantee you that all of that advice and all of those plans and all of that stuff that they came up with while they're on this boat in the middle of the ocean was nothing compared to seeing someone come and save them. Because advice is great when you're in the midst of a storm. It's great, but nothing is better than being taken out of it. Nothing is better than, oh, we don't have to come up with a plan. We don't have to, like, figure this out. We don't have to, like, change our circumstances. We don't need good luck. All we need is that boat, and here we are. And so when it comes to just the practical things in life, whatever it is you're going through, you need advice. Advice is great, but what advice really says is you have a problem. You have a problem that you have to figure out. And every person that's in the midst of a problem would rather just be out of the problem. Every storm that you're going through, no matter what it is, would you rather have someone come along and say, I can help you get out of that debt. I can help you work through those health problems. I can help you work through that relationship. Or wouldn't you rather that problem to go away? It's a no-brainer. Advice is nice, but I choose good news. I would rather have someone and go, it's solved. I'd rather have come in and say, you don't need to do anything. I'd rather have someone come along and say, you're done. To be honest, there's a little bit of vulnerability. Like this week, I had to go to the doctor because I am feeling some pain deep, deep in my right hip, right here. Right there. Ooh. And my hips don't lie. Shakira, Shakira. Like, I mean, it's been a problem. Like, I've had this thing going on for like a year and a half, and everyone's like, oh, you're doing something in CrossFit. And I'm like, no, perfect form, watch it. Like, it's not CrossFit because it has nothing to do with the muscle. And I just know that, like, honestly, when I go to the bathroom and then the toilet pushes up on the back of my leg, I can feel my hip coming out of the socket. And I'm like, you know what I'm thinking? I'm 36. This is the beginning of the end. I thought it would be like more gradual. Like I thought the pain and the problems would come more gradually. And automatically I'm thinking, I got this hip problem. I'm going to have a hip replacement. Hip replacement. Okay, I'll go. I have some doctor friends I told about this. I got a referral to go get my hip looked at. And I was like, I'm getting an MRI. And they're like, an MRI? What's wrong? I'm like, oh, I got a problem. I need a new hip. I got to get the new ball joint. They're like, just time out. Time out. So I go see the doctor this week. And the doctor sits with me. And he like sits me on a table and does some weird stuff with my leg. And it was weird. Like, he moved my legs in positions I've never had them before. And I was like, he was asking me, like, does that hurt? And I'm like, no. Like, it didn't really hurt. I wanted to say it did, so I had more sympathy. I don't know if you've ever been in that spot where, like, you're like, yeah, that hurts, man. You're the only one I could tell. But it didn't actually hurt. It's a weird feeling that only comes at certain times, and it didn't actually hurt. And he sat down, and he was like, well, I can tell that with your right leg, you're pushing a little harder, and you're a little lighter. And I'm like, no, you can't. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, because he's a doctor. I mean, what does he know? That's what I'm thinking. And he goes, so what we'll do is we'll just take some x-rays and see what's going on. And so with my chart at OSU, I went into a room, I took some x-rays, and by that night, I got an email from the doctor after he looked at the x-rays. And I was like, okay, here we go. Here it is. This is it. Here it is. And I click on it, and the first word was, unfortunately. And I was like, oh, see, I need a new hip. I read one word. But honestly, like, he goes on, and he said that, like, Joel, the top of your femur bone has a weird formation. And so over time, as it moves in certain ways, it rubs against the hip socket, and that's why you're causing that pain. And I'm like, I got weird bones. Like, this is, how come you don't know this when you're 12? You find out what's really wrong with you the older you get. That's the way this thing is. I'm learning. And so then he goes on for two paragraphs of advice. You need to take some anti-inflammatory. You need a real one. Here's a script. And then I want to set you up with this physical therapist. We're going to go through 6 weeks of this and this and this and this. Advice. And I'm like, great. You know, I mean, I'm going to work through this, but I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to go to the physical therapist. I don't want to have to fill up a prescription. I don't want to have to, like, be careful what I eat in a new whole other way because of what's going on in my hip. This is all advice, but it's a pain. I mean, yeah, thank you, I guess. Here's my copay. But, like, advice is annoying because I would rather it just be good news. Good news, Joel. Your hip is fine. You're fine. You're just a baby. Like, fine, that's great news. I'm just a baby. I'll milk it. I won't tell everybody right away. And that's fine because I know that ultimately I'm in a good situation. Advice is nice, but I choose good news. And you see, in your life, you're going to go through this. I know there's people in the room right now who would take good news over good advice in so many different areas, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want the doctor to call and just say good news? Wouldn't you want, you know, your stockbroker to call and say good news? Wouldn't you want maybe your attorney to call and say good news? Wouldn't you want a family member to call and start off with good news? I mean, how much better is that than, hey, we need to talk? Hey, unfortunately. Hey, we're going to get through this together. Because all of that just comes with advice and how to work through a storm. And I would rather be sitting in my storm and have someone come and pluck me out of it than tell me how to get through it. And that's the story of Christmas. You see, on a spiritual level, we all are living in the tension of whether or not we are going to take advice to work out our spiritual problems, our spiritual storm situation, or whether or not we're just going to accept the goodness that God has given us. Because the storm that you and I are all in spiritually is that we are separated from God. We do not have, when we are born into this world, the appropriate and good relationship with our Heavenly Father. The scriptures say we're born into a storm. We're born into a brokenness. We're born into a mess. We're born into a ship that is sinking. We're born into that. And some of us, through our entire lives, going to church, doing good things. Maybe we heard from somewhere that if we do good things, if we behave a certain way, if we say certain things, if we don't say certain things, if we act or treat, then what that does is that amount of advice, that amount of behavior, that plan will get us out of our spiritual problem. But the scriptures actually teach that we are so separated from our Father that there is no amount of behavior, no plan, and no advice, nothing that you could do that can get you out of your storm. You are on a boat in the middle of the ocean, helpless spiritually. I told a story years ago about a friend of mine who took their little kids to Disney World, and they lost their kids for 7 minutes. Can you imagine just the fear, right, of the father, of the child? I don't know who's this. I mean, the pain. In a spiritual sense, that's you and me when we're born into this world. And as we go through life, we are separated from our Father. We are a mess. We are trapped. We are in danger spiritually. The scriptures teach us that even our righteous deeds are unrighteous. That according to God, He's so good. He's so perfect. And He's so holy that what we do, even if we do good things, that we can never attain a level of good behavior that helps Dad come find us, that gets us the salvation that we need. Ultimately, without good news, without the gift of Jesus Christ, without that type of help, with that type of salvation, without that type of lifeboat, without that, we are all eventually going to sink and be eternally separated from our Father. It's like you go to Disney World and you never find Him again. That's where we're all headed. And so the story of Christmas is one of unraveling the anxiety, worry, work-driven life that you and I live, even as followers of Christ, to be reminded that there's nothing I can do, there's no behavior I can exhibit, there's nothing I could say, there's no plan, there's no advice. I just sit and let myself be saved by a God who decided to save me. It is one of the most freeing things in the world to stop taking account of all the good things that you think doing in order to have God love you more. To just discount everything you've done and say, there's nothing I could do, I'm not good enough, I'm just on a boat, I'm sinking, and God decided to save me. You see, here's when you break this down, here's what this is like. Advice says you better figure it out. Advice says you better figure it out, your spiritual separation from God. Advice says you better give more money, or you better work a little harder, or you better, you know, say something different, or you better be calm, whatever it is. Advice says, here's how you do it. You better figure it out. Good news says it's been figured out. It's been figured out for you. Advice says you better come up with a plan. You better put it in action. Come up with a plan to save yourself. Good news says there's a plan in place to save you. Advice says you're going to need some good luck. You know, the ball is going to have to bounce your way in order to make it through this. Good news says you don't need any good luck. You have a good God who loves you, and He is going to reach down and help you out if you want Him to. I mean, you can just go on and on and on. Who in this room is feeling the pressure of having to do certain things in order to receive the good news of Jesus Christ? Then if that's you, you came to the right place, because God is here today to say, I am not just giving you good advice. And you need to hear this. All of us, as we grow in Christ on earth, there are ways and good advice and good things that we need to figure out how to manage things, how to do life, how to make things work better with the good advice and the wisdom and the truth that comes from God. But none of that advice starts to actually come and shine in your life until you accept the good news. And you cannot accept the good news and at the same time think, I've got to do this on my own. Your salvation is out of your hands. It's out of my hands. It's something that was given to you. And that's the story of Christmas. It's the story of good news. There's a passage in the book of Luke where we see God sending his messengers. Now, you got to remember, right? We think of angels. We think of these supernatural creatures that are somewhat distant, difficult to understand. But what the word angel means is messenger. And just with the word messenger, we understand the difference between good news and good advice. You see, if God wanted to give us good advice, he wouldn't have sent a messenger. He would have sent a mechanic. He would have sent a tactician. He would have sent someone that understood strategy. He would have sent someone that came down and went next to Mary and said, okay, Mary, you are going to have to live a little bit better. You're going to have to do a little more work. You're going to have your stuff together. You're going to have to get smarter. You're going to have to think better. You're going to have to make more money, whatever it is. But he didn't send someone down to help Mary figure out life. He sent someone down to tell Mary life is figured out. I'm getting excited. He goes to the shepherds. The shepherds are the outcasts of society 2,000 years ago. They're the thieves, the robbers. They're the ones who nobody wants around. They stink, literally. Get out of here. They have bad reputations. They're the people that you don't normally want to associate with. God sends a messenger, not someone to say, here's what you need to do. Someone that says, here's what's been done to these people. People just like you and me. People who, when they're honest with themselves, realize, I have a bad reputation. I'm the one who has done things I shouldn't do. Nothing I can do can get me into a relationship with God. I need help. God says, go, Gabriel, to those shepherds and tell them something, a message, not advice. The angel doesn't bust open the skies and go, hey, shepherds, you got to get your stuff together. You guys got to you got to take a shower, man. Fred, you stink. Come on, man. You got to work. Go get a real job. You're a shepherd. Do something with your life. No. The angel bursts open the skies and says, the angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord. I mean, when God sends his message of good news, he sends it in style. He sends it in high production. He sends it with an oomph. And he said to them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. I don't bring you good advice. I don't bring you a good plan. I'm not going to change your circumstances. I'm going to tell you good news. I'm here to tell you that you're saved. That will cause great joy for all the people. You see, when you understand the good news, when you understand that you are truly at a heart level, at a spiritual level on that boat, and that boat is sinking, and nothing you can do can save you, when the good news shows up, it brings great joy. It brings a hilarity. It brings laughter. It brings excitement. Can you imagine those guys on that boat? They're just sitting there. Man, should we move over there? The weight, the water, the cold, the freezing. Well, what are we going to do? You go over there. Let's take turns. We got to look out. Let's look for a boat. Blah, blah, blah. Advice, plan, circumstances. Advice, plan, circumstances. Then, good news. Guys, I see a boat, man. Oh, there's a boat right there. They're coming for us. We might get off of this boat. I bring you good news that will cause great joy, excitement. Today in the town of David, this is the good news. In the town of David, a Savior, a lifeboat has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He's been promised. Messiah, he's been promised years before. You've been waiting on him because you know you're in turmoil. The Lord, this will be a sign to you. Here's how you're going to know. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And then what happens is the reality of this goodness just bursts forth. Just wow. And these guys are singing about how good it is. And the beauty of the angels celebrating in the sky should tell us that they see something that we don't see. They understand the goodness like we don't understand. I don't think that everyone needs to start singing songs and bursting forth in this type of celebration the way the angels do. I'm going to show you it. But I do believe this. I do believe that if you understand the good news, then you embrace what God has done for you through the gift of Jesus Christ at an emotional level the same way you would good news in any other storm in your life. That it settles you. It calms you. That if you were somewhere you weren't supposed to be last night, if you've spent a couple years way away from God, if you've made some decisions that you are ashamed of, that when you hear this, you realize that, oh, okay, I don't have to go back and erase that. I'm already forgiven. This is done, it's fixed, it's solved. Good news. When you do that, you start to respond, you start to live. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Advice is nice, but I choose good news. You know, this Christmas season, you guys, I got some good news. We're going to do shorter messages. That's 26 minutes. You're welcome. Hopefully there's some good news coming out at noon today with the Buckeyes. Don't say anything. Wouldn't it be better? I mean, what do you want to hear from the committee? You got to go do this, and you should have done this, and you should have done this. How about just, you're in. During this season, man, can we just stop the charade? What makes this season good is the good news. Not what you did, not what you didn't do. It's the gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, 33 years later, he went into this ultimate storm of his life, and his storm was this thing that he had to do where he had to take on all of the punishment, all of the things that are a result of all of our bad behaviors, and he died and wiped away our sins. And while he was on the cross, he said these three words. He said, "It is finished." It's finished. The good news is here. Here's a lifeboat. If you want to embrace Jesus Christ, all you have to do is say, "I accept the good news." Stop spinning your wheels. Nothing you can do can make God love you more. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray that right now. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I don't really have a relationship with you. If this is you, just repeat this after me. I don't know you that well, or maybe I do know you, and I have been believing that my good things are what make me okay with you. God, forgive me for that, for making me believe that the good things I do are why I'm in a good place with you. I'm not, God. Nothing I did got me here. You got me here. You saved me. You did it for me. And if you're in here today and you've never accepted the good news of Jesus Christ, and you're thinking you have to do a bunch of stuff, you're thinking you have to figure this out, I just want you to say to God right now, "Thank you. I'm done spinning my wheels. I'm done trying to figure this out all on my own. I'm done trying to do all the things that make me okay with you. I accept today that I'm okay with you, that our relationship is mended just because you came to me. You came into my world. You died for me. You gave me a life vest. You forgave my sins." God, I pray that right now someone would pray that in your name, that they would ask Jesus into their life. They would accept the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ today for the first time. Father, we're all going through winter storms spiritually, practically, every single day. Help us to see how you brought the good news instead of just good advice. We love you so much. We thank you. In Jesus' name.